Hey everyone, it's Marvin. This episode of Books and Boba is brought to you by Home Interrupted, a new podcast from our partners at Feet in Two Worlds. Climate change affects everyone, but it doesn't affect everyone equally. Immigrants often bear a unique burden due to climate change, but they're also leading the way with impactful solutions. Feet in Two Worlds, the news outlet and journalism training organization for immigrant voices, presents Home Interrupted. From flooded basement apartments in New York City to indigenous Maya farming practices in Nebraska, Feet in Two Worlds Home Interrupted brings you deeply reported original stories from across the United States. Episodes drop each week starting April 2nd. Find Feet in Two Worlds Home Interrupted wherever you listen to podcasts.
You're listening to
Whoa!
Potluck.
And welcome back to Books and Boba, a book club and podcast featuring books by Asian and Asian American authors. My name is Marvin Yue.
And I'm Rira Yu.
And it's time for our mid-month news update, where we bring you the latest new releases and book news in Asian American literature. I'm surprised that Rira had time to put together our monthly list, seeing that she's been down in her Olympics hole for the last week.
Let's be honest, I did not sleep last night. I pulled a college Red Bull, pretty much, and just... decided to do it all at 2 a.m. because I was that dedicated.
To the figure skaters.
Yeah.
Full disclosure, Rira is so into figure skating that she doesn't even watch the primetime feed of NBC. She goes and watches like... You're watching the BBC feed or the...
I'm watching the British Eurosport feed. And
because they don't skip people.
They don't skip... Well, they go live like 2 hours in. Mm. But within the first hour, I watch it on the Russian stream. Oh. Because that's like the only option I have.
So you watch every single one, not just like the last group, which is usually what NBC shows.
Yeah. Right? Well, NBC showed like no one. Like... I wasn't watching it on NBC last night when the pairs were going for their long program. Mm. And on Twitter, like, everyone was complaining about NBC. They're like, are they really not going to show, like, the top five figure skaters? Like, that doesn't make sense at all. But, yeah, it's been a very exciting week. Like, yesterday was Valentine's Day, right?
Yeah.
And usually my boyfriend and I go out to dinner. But I said, no, figure skating's at night, so we have to do this during the day. So we had like a Valentine's Day
That's
lunch.
Sweet. This has been like the convergence of everything all in 1 week. It's not only the Winter Olympics, it's also Valentine's Day week and Lunar New Year week.
Oh, that's right. Lunar New Year is like tomorrow?
It's tomorrow, but we celebrate it tonight because, you know, New Year's Eve.
Oh, that's right.
And I feel like, I don't know if Koreans really do the Lunar New Year. I know you guys are more into the Autumn Festival.
Right? Do, but Korean Americans, not so much.
Yeah. I think Chinese people, the Spring Festival is the big one. And yeah, so I have that stuff going on too. It's like, I have literally three things to do every night.
Yeah,
that I can't get to.
I heard a bit of you and Minji like watching the opening ceremony on the Clapcast.
On our clock, we recorded our Clapcast during the.
I was like,
ceremony.
Wait, isn't the opening ceremony at 3 a.m.? Like, how late are they staying at the office? Oh. Or was it a pre-recorded?
It was the prime time feed. So the one that started at 5 p.m.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it wasn't live. The live was 3 a.m. And really shocked.
Everyone was already like talking about the Tonga Man.
Yeah, yeah.
We were watching NBC talk about Korean culture and how Koreans look up to Japan.
I heard about that.
And And the wonderful rendition of Arirang.
There are other songs. Why do they always sing that for like cultural shows?
I mean, it's the most Korean of Korean songs, though, isn't it?
I don't know. Maybe the national anthem.
This has been your Books and Boba Olympics update. Join us next time.
We had to talk about it before we got
join
started.
Us next time. For Rira is really excited about the men's event tonight.
It's the most exciting part of the Olympics, in my opinion.
Who are you rooting for?
I have so many favorites. Among them is Yuzuru Hanyu. of Japan, Shoma Uno of Japan, Nathan Chen.
The Darth Vader of figure skating.
No, he's not the Darth Vader of figure skating. I don't know who gave him that nickname, but it's a misnomer. Cha Jun-hwan of Korea, Boyang Jin of China, Javier of Spain. Yeah, the list goes on and on and on.
No Adam Rippon on this list.
I mean, he's a great skater. Not like in my top
five. Not a fave.
Not in my top five, though. I'll cheer for him, but
I feel like
not
next,
in my top five.
I feel like in 4 years, we should just, let's just do like a Olympics podcast featuring Reaver's commentary.
No, that's just me screaming a lot and shouting and being like, under rotation.
Were you excited for that Japanese pair that did the Yuri on Ice theme?
It was a little pandering for you. It was a cute gesture, and I'm glad that they did it, but I didn't like their program.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I didn't like their step routine.
See, Rira is a true, like, not even enthusiast. I would say fanatic is the correct
word.
No,
like, if I was a fanatic, I would know how the scoring works, but it's really complicated, and I'm really bad at math, so I don't tally up the points when people skate.
Right.
Anyway, moving on to new releases.
Yeah, just a quick reminder, our February book club pick is Everybody's an Alien When You're an Alien Too by Jomny Sun. It's a really cute picture book. I'm halfway through it and been enjoying it so far. It's a quick and easy read. Hopefully you all are enjoying it too, and stay tuned for our end of month discussion on the book. I'm excited to talk about all the cute little animals. And as always, you can discuss the books that we read at Books of Boba on our Goodreads group in the forums. So just go to goodreads.com and join the Books of Boba group. And we'd love to hear your thoughts on this month's book. And on that note, let's get to the new releases of February 2018.
First up is Down and Across by Arvin Amati, released on February 6th, published by Viking Books for Young Readers. 16-year-old Scott Ferdowsi has a track record of quitting. With college applications looming, his parents pressure him to get serious and settle on a career path like engineering or medicine. Desperate for help, he sneaks off to Washington, D.C. to seek guidance from a famous professor who specializes in grit, the psychology of success. But once he meets Fiora Buchanan, a ballsy college student whose life ambition is to write crossword puzzles, Scott finds himself on an adventure that opens his eyes to fundamental truths about who he is and who he wants to be. So the main character is Iranian-American, as is the author. And there was this really great interview with Arvin Amati and The Hate U Give author Angie Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just talking about how when he was writing the book in, like, the first or second draft, the main character was, like, half Indian, half white.
Right.
Until,
right,
like,
right.
All of his friends were like, this is you. You need to just write this character as an Iranian American. And he was like, okay, like, you know, even if this book doesn't sell, at least I wrote my debut novel the way that I wanted to. So,
yeah,
it's an own voices book, and I've heard great things about it.
I'm sure it'll sell just fine. I think that's the biggest thing with, like, Asian American creators that we've worked with in as part of collaboration is this, like, the imposter syndrome of, like, I don't deserve to be here, or, like, everyone else is better than me. Yeah. But the thing is, like, everyone else is thinking that too. And if you're
not good, everyone, there are some people who have privilege. Let's not forget.
All right. Fair enough. But if you're good enough to get a book deal, you're good enough for people to read. So, yeah. Congrats on the book birthday. Is that the correct literary term?
Yeah,
for
book
it?
Birthday.
It's out now, so check it out. Next up is Call Me Zebra by Azarine van der Vliet Alumi. Pardon if I pronounce that name a little wonky. And it released on February 6th, published by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. Zebra is the last in a line of anarchists, atheists, and autodidacts. When war came, her family didn't fight. They took refuge in books. Now alone and in exile, Zebra leaves New York for Barcelona, retracing the journey she and her father made from Iran to the United States years ago. When Zebra meets Ludo, their connection is magnetic and their time together fraught. They push and pull their way across the Mediterranean, wondering with each turn if their love or lust can free Zebra from her past.
And next we have The Prince and the Dressmaker by Jen Wang, released on February 13th, published by First Second. Prince Sebastian is looking for a bride, or rather, his parents are looking for one for him. But Sebastian has a secret. At night, he wears daring dresses and takes Paris by storm as the fabulous fashion icon, Lady Crystallia. Sebastian's secret weapon and best friend is the brilliant seamstress Frances, one of the only two people who know about his alter ego. But Frances dreams of greatness, and being someone's secret weapon means being a secret. How long can Frances defer her dreams to protect a friend? I keep slipping from like Frances to Frances. I've heard both. Sorry.
I mean, has the author weighed in on the correct pronunciation?
I don't know. But this is a graphic novel, I think.
It's whatever's in your head.
Yeah, this is a graphic novel, I believe. I saw Maureen Gu recommended on her Twitter. So, yeah.
Seems interesting.
I really do want to read it.
Next up is The Lost Girls of Camp Forevermore by Kim Fu, released on February 13th, published by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. Nita, Kayla, Isabel, Dina, and Shobin arrive at Camp Forevermore in the Pacific Northwest, where their days are filled with swimming lessons, friendship bracelets, and camp songs by the fire. Filled with excitement and nervous energy, they set off on an overnight kayaking trip to a nearby island. When group leader Jan falls ill, the girls are forced to traverse the island's dense woods seeking rescue and must contend with the elements and one another.
This sounds like my worst nightmare. I hate camping, and the thought of being stranded in the middle of nowhere, it terrifies me.
I mean, I think we can compare what the girls do in this book to like what the boys did in Lord of the Flies. I'm sure the girls will make it out way better than the boys did.
Well, they're also not stuck on like... No, they're still like, stuck on an island, right?
Yeah,
they are. Okay.
This is like the premise of the new Lara Croft movie. So maybe
There is another one.
Maybe they'll all become Tomb Raiders.
Next up is Song of a Captive Bird by Jasmine Darznik, released on February 13th. Published by Ballantine Books. Darznik's novel retells the life of Iranian feminist poet and director Farrokh Farrokhzad. All throughout her childhood in Tehran, Farrokh is told that Iranian daughters should be quiet and modest, but she always finds ways to rebel, mainly through writing poetry. Forced into a suffocating marriage, Farrokh runs away and falls into an affair that fuels her desire to write and to achieve independence. Her poems are considered both scandalous and brilliant. She is heralded by some as a national treasure, vilified by others as a demon influenced by the West. But the power of her writing grows only stronger amid the upheaval of the Iranian Revolution. And that is Song of a Captive Bird by Jasmine Darznik.
Cool. Next up is Blood of a Thousand Stars, the second book of the Empress of a Thousand Skies duology by Rhoda Beleza. Releases next week on February 20th, published by Razorbill. This is the sequel to Empress of a Thousand Skies that we read for, was it November?
I think it was November.
Yeah, for our book club. So I've actually received an arc for this book, so I'm excited to check it out and I'll report back.
The thrilling conclusion.
Yeah. Nero, who has seized control of the galaxy, seeks the Overwriter, technology that mines memories, erases history, and controls populations by mind control. But standing in his way are Rhi, the acting empress of the Tang Dynasty, Ali, former reality star and framed assassin who seeks revenge and to kill Nero, and finally Kara, who is hoping to find the Overrider to save the galaxy and erase the princess she once was. So yeah, excited to see where that story leads. And
because in the first book, it alternated POVs. So does that mean that in this book it alternates into three POVs?
I've only read the first two chapters so far, and right now it's between Rhi and Kara. But I'm guessing it will go to Ali too.
Yeah.
So probably like three points of view. So
Ali is my boy. He was my favorite character in Empress of a Thousand Skies.
That's because Rhi was the worst.
Maybe she gets better. Next up is All the Names They Used for God by Anjali Sachdeva. I'm sorry if I mispronounced it. Releases on February 20th, published by Spiegel & Grow. Anjali Sachdeva's debut collection spans centuries, continents, and a diverse set of characters, but is united by each character's epic struggle with fate. A workman in Andrew Carnegie's steel mills is irrevocably changed by the brutal power of the furnaces. A fisherman sets sail into overfished waters and finds a secret obsession from which he can't return. And an online date ends with a frightening, inexplicable disappearance. So this is a collection of short stories.
Oh, sounds interesting. Next up is The Serpent's Secret by Sayatani Dasgupta. Releases on February 27th and published by Scholastic. Kiran is an average sixth grader living in Parsippany, New Jersey. That is until her parents mysteriously vanish later that day and a Rakash demon slams through her kitchen. Turns out there might be some truth to her parents' fantastical stories, like how Kiramala is a real Indian princess and a wealth of secrets about her origin they've kept hidden. After meeting a pair of Indian princesses who insist that they're there to rescue her, Kiran travels to the kingdom beyond the seven oceans and 13 rivers in an effort to rescue her parents.
So this is a middle grade novel, and the cover looks super fun. I think YA novels should really step up their game with covers, because middle grade novels have fantastic covers. But it sounds like a fun read.
Yeah, Scholastic. That reminds me of those book club newsletters we used to get in like elementary school.
Oh, yeah.
If you order like $10 worth of books, you get a slap bracelet.
I don't remember that.
Oh, I'm dating myself.
Next up is A Girl Like That by Tanaz Bathina. Releases on February 27th, published by Farrar Straz Giro Books for Young Readers. Again, I apologize for any mispronunciation. 16-year-old Zarin Wadia is many things. A bright and vivacious student, an orphan, and a risk-taker. She's also the kind of girl that parents warn their kids to stay away from. A troublemaker whose many romances are the subject of endless gossip at school. So how is it that 18-year-old Porus Demasia has only ever had eyes for her? And how did Zarin and Porus end up dead in a car together, crashed on the side of a highway in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia? When the religious police arrive on the scene, everything everyone thought they knew about Zarin is questioned. And as her story is pieced together, told through multiple perspectives, it becomes clear that she was far more than just a girl like that.
Wow.
Yeah, it goes places. Wow. That's just from the book jacket. I know. I'm really curious. That's it for our new releases of February. This is definitely not every single book that came out by an Asian or Asian American author, but
yeah, as always, if there are any other books that you know of that we missed, go ahead, feel free to let us know and let the group know on our Goodreads forums. That's what they're there for. But let's get on to some book news. There's quite a bit of new developments in the Asian American literary world.
And also just the literary world.
Yeah.
So the first piece of news is, so I've been catching this on Twitter in between my Olympic watching. So I obviously don't know all of the details, but I will do my best to summarize what's happened. Mm-hmm. So the Me Too conversation in the publishing world reached new heights following the publication of children's author Anne Ursu's article, Sexual Harassment in the Children's Book Industry. And back in December, the author, she released a survey, or she opened up a survey that people could submit their experiences with sexual harassment anonymously. And her article that just came out earlier this month, or I guess earlier this week, it has like a bunch of excerpts from the submissions. And I'm going to pull a quote from the article. And the quote is, "These are the sort of events we're told to brush off. They're jokes, they're flattering, no big deal. But when you believe you are a professional and someone informs you they see you as a sex object, it can shatter your sense of self and your sense of safety." So if you want to know more about the ongoing conversation around this, I would definitely check out Ursu's Medium article. I know that a lot of Asian American authors also tweeted their thoughts on this as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's... people assume just because it's children's entertainment that it's, you know, obviously like shiny and innocent.
Yeah.
But then you have to realize that the publishing industry, like most industries in America, are run by old dudes who, like, if you think about it, yeah, of course this also happens in the children's world. Mm-hmm. I mean, just like in industries run by men where masculinity is valued as a like a sign of authority. Like, this kind of stuff has been happening for decades, right?
Yeah, and it really sucks that like a lot of female there's a lot of female authors in the children's book industry, and to think that like they are facing harassment not just in like their workplace but also at like conferences and book festivals, places that they have to be around their harassers, like that's really like that's really gross to think about.
Yeah.
Also, I just wanted to mention that Publishers Weekly, they also reported earlier this week that among the accused harassers were 13 Reasons Why author Jay Asher and award-winning illustrator David Diaz. So if you want to learn more about that, I would check out Publishers Weekly.
Yeah.
It's a fairly recent article, so it should still be in the archive high up there.
Yeah, it's happening everywhere, and it's, you know, time's up, me too. It's all coming out, so.
It's been like I was wondering when this would happen, because it's been happening in every single industry where people are kind of like pushing back the curtains.
Yeah, I mean, it's the strength in numbers, right? Now that like it's becoming a mainstream conversation, the stigma that it's something you shouldn't talk about is quickly dissipating. And people are emboldened, which is good, because we need some culture change, especially in today's
zero
world.
Tolerance.
Yeah. Next up in news is Erin Entrada Kelly was awarded the Newbery Medal for her middle grade novel Hello Universe. The story follows the serendipitous friendship formed by three middle schoolers: Virgil, a shy boy who's afraid of the dark despite believing he's too old to have such a fear; Calorie, a self-proclaimed psychic; and Valencia, who is deaf and often lonely because her schoolmates are intimidated about how to communicate with her. So congratulations to Erin on the award.
I heard that she was driving when she heard the news, and she had to like repeat, like she had to ask her editor to repeat herself, and she was just like, "I'm on the 95. I'm on the 95," because she was driving on the highway. It's a really funny story. Yeah. Congratulations again to Erin and Trotta Kelly. Next up in our news is Simon & Schuster bought Rebecca Kim Wells' debut YA fantasy, Children of Ash. The description goes, raised in the ruins of a mountain city, Marin wants nothing but a peaceful life. But when her girlfriend is kidnapped, Marin vows to rescue her, even if it means stealing a dragon from the corrupt empire. Publication is set for summer 2019.
Cool. Dragons and empire. Good keywords to have in a fantasy book. Wendy Lam Books at Random House acquired May Respicio's novel Beach Season. Longing to get her family back to normal after a tragedy, a girl uses her love of the ocean, special effects, makeup, and Filipino folklore to create a way to help them move on. A publication is slated for 2020.
Yeah, Filipino folklore. Need more of those. Next up is First Second Books bought Kiku Hughes' middle grade graphic novel, Displacement. The book is a memoir-based magical realist story about a teenager who is pulled back in time to witness her grandmother's experience in World War II era Japanese internment camps. Publication is planned for 2020. Yo, that is a middle grade graphic novel right there. Like, that is pretty deep and pretty important. So, sorry if my vocabulary is very limited.
I wonder how they will deal with paradoxes and time travel. That's what I'm thinking of.
I've watched enough Doctor Who to say time is a ball of wibbly wobbly. Like, as long as it works in your universe, it should be fine.
Is that the technical term, wibbly wobbly?
Yes.
Simon Poles bought two contemporary YA novels by Kemi Don Bowman. The first novel follows a multiracial teen girl who dreams of quitting school to become a trapeze artist in her parents' Las Vegas circus against their wishes, prompting her to join a rival circus. Ooh. There she grows close to a handsome musician and performer while untangling her family's complex past and present. Publication is set for fall 2019 and 2020.
Kemi Don Bowman is the author of Starfish, and I've heard great things about it, so check out her work.
Yeah, capitalizing on the Greatest Showman buzz. And talking about circuses.
That was a while ago. I mean, her book's coming out in 2019, 2020.
I mean,
trends mean nothing.
Contemporary. Yeah, okay.
Candlewick bought two of Christina Sundhornvedt's books. Sorry if I mispronounced it. Sorry.
You don't have to apologize every time.
I feel really bad. Her middle grade fantasy novel, A Wish in the Dark, is loosely based on Les Miserables and set in an imaginary Bangkok-like city, and tells the story of Pong, a boy who escapes the women's prison where he was born, only to find out that the world outside does not offer the freedom he has always longed for. Publication is set for spring 2020, and Soon Tornvat's other book is a picture book, The Blunders, and it's titled The Blunders, A Cautionary Counting Tale. And it's a retelling of the international folktale, The Fools Who Do Not Count Themselves. The book follows 10 blunder children who fear telling their mother when they think they've lost one of their siblings. Publication is set for 2019.
That sounds cute.
I mean, I'm interested in the middle grade fantasy novel that is based on Les Miserables.
That also sounds cool.
Yeah, it sounds really, really cool. And a Bangkok-like city, like in...
I know, we haven't really seen a lot of like Southeast Asian fantasy settings, so...
And our last piece of news...
Yeah, finally, the Asian Pacific American Librarians Association announced the winners and honorees of the 2018 APA Award for Literature. The winners for adult fiction are The Leavers by Lisa Ko, with the honoree being The Refugees by Viet Thanh Nguyen. The winner for adult nonfiction is Asian Fail, Narratives of Disenchantment and the Model Minority by Eleanor T, with the honoree being The Long Afterlife of Nikkei Wartime Incarceration by Karen M. Inouye.
And the winner of the YA category is It's Not Like It's a Secret by Misa Sugihara. And the honorable mention is Saints and Misfits by S.K. Ali.
For children's literature, it's Step Up to the Plate, Maria Singh by Uma Krishnaswamy. And honorable mention goes to Cilla Lee Jenkins, Future Author Extraordinaire by Susan Tan.
And for the final category, it's picture books. The winner is A Different Pond, written by Baofei and illustrated by Tibui. And the honorable mention is The Neon Monster, written by Andrea Wang and illustrated by Alina Chow. So congratulations to all the winners and honorable mentions.
The Neon Monster is actually pretty timely because that's the monster that comes around during Lunar New Year.
Oh, really?
So why you leave the lights on to ward them away.
Lovely. Yeah. Lovely bedtime story for children out there.
The Neon Monster, because Neon means year. So it's the year monster. It's the New Year monster. That's how it was explained to me. If you have your own folklore you want to share, please do on our Goodreads group. Again, it's also where you can share your thoughts on our February book club pick, Everybody's an Alien When You're an Alien Too by Jomny Sun, which is a really fun book. How far have you gotten?
I have not started because really? Of the Olympics.
Oh, no. Well, good thing it's a pretty... I got through half the book in like an hour, so... It's a pretty, pretty sweet read.
Yeah, I like a lot of our members already finished it and shared their thoughts on our Goodreads forum.
It's super cute.
It might be a while because this week, figure skating.
You got your men's competition, you got your women's competition, and then you got your ice dancing.
But if you have already finished our February book club pick, we have our March pick, and that's What Lies Between Us by Naomi Munawira. And it's a mystery novel from what I've been told, and it takes place in Sri Lanka and Canada. Not sure if it's Canada or America, but it's like a murder mystery crime novel. So
awesome.
A different change in pace for us.
Yeah, looking forward to cracking that open after we finish our February book. And on that note, that'll do it for this episode of Books and Boba. Hope you guys are all enjoying Jomny Sun's picture book. Hope you guys are all enjoying the Olympics. If you have thoughts about figure skating or just want to keep up with all the updates, check out Reba's Twitter feed, because
my Twitter feed has just been all like hashtag figure skating, and I feel really bad for like spamming other people's Twitter feeds.
No, everyone,
but they can just mute it. So
I mean, right now you can't, like, everybody's Twitter feed is all about the Olympics, so it's not just you. It's not just you. But thanks again for compiling all the news for our news episode. And thank you all for listening to the Books and Boba podcast. We really appreciate it. And we'll see you next time.
Hey, bye.
Bye. This episode of Books and Boba was hosted by Marvin Yue and Mira Yu and edited by Marvin Yue. Books and Boba is a proud member of the Potluck Podcast Collective, a collective of podcasts featuring unique voices from the Asian American community. If you like Books and Boba, you might also like Saturday School, a pop culture history podcast hosted by journalist Ada Sang and film scholar Brian Hu, who highlight and discuss classic Asian American films. You can catch Saturday School and the other great programs of the Potluck Collective by going to the website www.podcastpotluck.com.